You may want to gently close your eyes, go a bit inward, connect yourself with the movement of the river, with what's under the river, with the banks, with the east and the west, with the north and the south, with the power and the flow that's within you and reflected with the river. With the environment and the atmosphere and the graduation of light as we entering sunset. Can you feel that going deeper? Feel that in your heart? Feel that in your body, in the cells of your body? And extended into your light, your energy, your frequencies. Feel that all that you are. Feeling the tenderness, the softness, the gentleness, the peacefulness of the river as it carries you, like a loving guide, like a loving mother, like a loving source. Of never-ending nourishment for the soul from God, from divinity, from a higher consciousness. From all that is the great I am. The oneness. The oneness of everything that connects us all. Just let yourself feel that even more. Breathing to it even more, even more, even more.
As we continue our journey together through Egypt, we find ourselves on the Nile, and we are no longer grounded. And so we are experiencing different attributes of Gaia, where we are suspended above water. Those who go to sea know that there is a different sensation, a different feeling when you are floating on the water. Some may find it a reflective mood. Others may find creative inspiration. But the other attribute of water is that it is changeable through your consciousness. And there is an expression often given, may you always drink from the Nile. And this is a good time to remind ourselves that the water we drink, we can program before we drink it. We can take a bottle of water and write love on that water, and it will be changed by the very vibration of those words you send into the bottle of water. And so this is also a good time to remind ourselves that the majority of our body is comprised of water. And so what are the words you speak from your mouth as you talk to the air around your body, which is made up of water? Are they words of encouragement, love, self-compassion? Because we are always given that opportunity where we may say something and feel we are judging ourselves. Or we're having a moment, as we do as humans, when we feel perhaps that was a little lesser than I expected. But there's always the opportunity to negate any of those emotions that we experience through reframing what we say, redefining ourselves moment by moment, simply through expressing self-compassion, words of love, addressing the molecular structure of water within your body. This is available to us each and every moment of every day. And so in this moment, let that instruction now be to program the water molecules in our body with joy and allow the joy to bubble through your being so that you have effervescent tingles of joy releasing into the atmosphere from you. And there's nothing more to do. People will sense that joy. And they too will be affected by it.
Greetings, dear ones. I'm Kryon of Magnetic Service. For those listening to these channels, these messages, these episodes in teaching and training, the group finds themselves today sailing down the Nile from Upper Egypt, having visited Kom Ombo. It's an unusual temple. There's nothing like it. On the east side of the river, that's important for what I tell you next. And the Egyptians were great at metaphors. So many of those messages on the walls are metaphoric. Every time you see a human being with a head of an animal, it's about the animal and the human and the perception of what it wants to say, which direction it's facing. But the temple itself, dear ones, is a magnificent metaphor. The temple is really two temples in one, as you were told. You might say there were two gods, although there were two men, one representing light and one representing dark, actually, the underworld. What does that remind you of? Indeed, it is the metaphor of duality. Every single human being has those attributes. You can do what you want right now with this message. You can listen or not. You can hear but not understand if you wish. You can hear and ignore if you wish. And there are so many who will hear and have a revelation as well. We speak again about those ancient Egyptians who had a lot of what you have today, or at least the understanding of it. Let's discuss something you may have seen. Each guide showed you the healing corridor, the rooms. Here it was, a place where they could heal those, and you could see on the walls some of the things they wanted you to see. And what were those? Some of the methodology they used, indeed. Some of the surgical instruments. Some of the aromatherapy. And there was more. What is very difficult to show on the walls, but there are some indicators, is what they did with frequency, with sound. One study I have not seen, my partner would tell you. And he will say the study of sound with the Egyptians on resonance of chambers, of sarcophaguses. There are things there have yet to be studied, notated, and tested. What is the frequency resonance of the king's chamber? There is one. Do some of the sarcophaguses produced in some of the dynasties ring with a certain resonance? All of them. And the answer is yes. They believed resonant frequencies and sound were important, not just in healing, but in the trip to the afterlife. Wait for that. Someone will discover it, or at least think about that. Hasn't been much yet, but there could be. Perhaps those who listen to this would be interested. But you saw something else, dear ones. On the back wall, with all the instruments, was an actual depiction of what you would call the scales of justice, with a pole and the two weighing devices suspended, balanced. And if you've been paying attention, you would say, well, I know what those are, because when you pass to the afterlife, your heart is weighed. And your heart must be light, as judged by your deeds and who you are, what you've done. And that's what that means, except it's in the wrong place. That's what you would find on the walls of a tomb, dear ones. That's the afterlife, dear ones. This was a temple. So what could those scales mean? Well, perhaps they mean the duality I spoke of. And yet they were right next to the etchings of the healing instruments that they used. I will say it again. Egyptians knew chemistry. That was a depiction of weighing certain substances to be mixed into the cauldron for medicine. They understood more than you know about medicine, about some of the plants, perhaps, that are on the Nile, that they could mix in with other plants and what you would call healing, magic would happen. They were so gifted in the soil to have the richness of the ages. So many of the trees, so many of the plants were all there, and they had thousands of years to develop it. And dear ones, they did. You got to see so much today that would aim you and your perception, perhaps, toward another idea. They knew a lot more than any historian is giving them credit for. And so in our story of woe, he's about to have a discovery. He's about to learn a lot more than even he thought he would know. And he learns it from this man, this guide, this teacher who he met, who starts to explain energy, the energy of consciousness, something that is not taught even today, and that is why I am teaching it. A precursor, perhaps, to some day where you'll be able to see actual thoughts and their patterns and the magnificence of a multidimensional attribute you don't expect from consciousness, but it's there. There are pieces and parts of your body, dear ones, that resound and have a resonance to consciousness. He sits in front of his teacher, and the teacher says, "Woe, welcome back." And Woe said, "I cannot stay away." because what you're telling me starts to make sense to me, and then I'm starting to use it, and I'm actually feeling better. Wo tells the man, he said, I went home after the last teaching, and I listened for the first time to the subjects of the things that my family and my friends were saying. And almost all of them had a negative spin. And I'd never realized that before. And so I'm not going to do that with them. And they noticed. And they said, you're quiet. And I said to them, yes, I'm quiet. I didn't want to tell them what you said because I was afraid. It's just too strange. And the man said to Wo, are you ready for something stranger? And Wo said, oh, yes, because everything you have told me rings with love. And the man again said to Wo, love thy God with all your heart. Every waking moment, asleep, awake, the Creator is in you. The Creator knows your name, Wo. And the Creator has been waiting for you to awaken and find something in yourself you didn't know you had. And then the man did an explanation to Wo of something Wo had no idea about. And the man said, Wo, let's talk about the energy of consciousness and your body. Now, this struck Wo as strange because we were talking about changing reality a moment ago and having the light turned on in the darkness a moment ago in other teachings, and now he wants to talk about my body, Wo says. What is it? Tell me. And here's what the man told Wo. Every cell of your body, Wo, is an energy receptor. The cells do what they're supposed to do. That is their task. It's simple chemistry. And if you leave them alone and never give them any energy at all of anything, they'll work just fine. Except they don't work very well. They have a default. And what that means is if left alone, the body will do whatever it wants. If left alone, the body will age accordingly to a system of consciousness that is of the whole. In other words, a low consciousness population will often have an aging schedule, and everyone pretty much matches the schedule. That's the default. It's what you expect. It's what your doctors say is your average lifespan. And Wo looked at the man and said, what is he going to say next? What could he say next? And then the man looked at Wo and said, but if you apply the energy of consciousness to your cellular structure, you can do several things. And this teaching will be about one of them. Perhaps the one nobody will believe. Wo, your cells are all designed to rejuvenate, all of them. Wo had heard this, he knew this, but some, he was told, don't rejuvenate, others do. And the man said, all of them do. In their own ways, that will be discovered. Even your nerves, even your brain, they all do. Your skin does, you see it. You see it when you injure yourself and you heal up in a matter of days or weeks. It rejuvenates. Every single cell is designed to rejuvenate. However, the default is it doesn't do it well. And therefore, the average age of humanity is stuck. It's stuck in default mode, Wo. However, if you were to send your cellular structure the energy of consciousness and an instruction set, it wouldn't age as much. Woe was interested. He'd never heard anything like this. You're going to send energy to your cellular structure. Well, they are receptors of energy, and all cells have a multidimensional portion. It comes from a multidimensional DNA, proven. You wouldn't have quantum biologists if you didn't have DNA that had some form of multidimensionality. And that is the receptor of the energy of consciousness. Well, here are your instructions today. Go back. And every day, tell your cells to start using. Not to schedule the telomeres to shorten as much. Tell them and visualize that which is the rejuvenation process to be more efficient. That is the energy that then will start happening. And the result you will not see immediately. But over a period of time, you'll see it in yourself and in your comparison to others. I'd like to tell you, whoa, your design is to rejuvenate efficiently and have a lifespan of well over 100 years. That is how your body is designed. But that's not what's happening. Because very few humans know the secret. The cells sit there waiting for instructions. And if they never receive them, they'll simply do what they choose. Now that's for tomorrow, woe. But today, I want to send you away with a lighter heart, knowing that you can control your own aging. Woe left this man who seemed to appear every time he was in that place with the others that he saw where the sand didn't touch them as much. And he was learning so much. And every single thing he learned was absolutely brand new. It was never told him with any spiritual source, any doctor. Could it be? Woe said, everything else so far has worked. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to wait and see if those around me age more than I do, and somehow, some way, Woe knew they would. This is filled with instruction sets or meditation and light and seeing yourself as part of God. And he's beginning to realize that is the catalyst that would allow it to manifest, to happen. It doesn't happen simply by wishing or sending messages. It's got to be combined with something. And he's learning what that something is. And he's feeling more compassionate now, not just to those around him, but for the first time, for himself. I'm Kryon, in love with humanity, telling you about a discovery for every single one of you who listens to this, the truth of how it could be. And so it is.